This is KTOO's Juno Afternoon, and we're at the bottom of the hour. I'm today's host, Scott Burton. Our next guest is with the Juno Police Department. Welcome, Chief Ed Mercer.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me. It's been a little while.
It has been a while. I think late spring, early summer, so it's nice to have you on the show. What's going out there in Midtown at the police department?
Well, even although we've been dealing with, the pandemic and COVID, it's business as usual at the police department. You know, we're still plugging away and continue to provide those services throughout Juneau. And I'm happy to say that even with COVID and us having to take some precautionary steps and do a little bit of different things than we're normally used to, we're still providing that police service to the community. And I think for the most part, everything is going really well.
Got it. Have you had any officers who have contracted COVID-19?
We have not. Fortunately, you know, right on the onset of this, we instituted, our officers wear all PPE while they're out there dealing with people in the public. And we try to reduce face-to-face contacts where we could and when we have to deal with the public and whatnot. So I think that has been favorable and shows that, you know, we're maintaining at this point, and I think it's going good.
Can you give us an example or two of some of the precautions your officers are taking?
Sure. On the onset, you know, we require officers to wear masks when they're in contact with the public, to wear gloves, and we even issued them some safety glasses to put on, which sometimes can be very difficult in our environment with rain and everything, so the officers do the best they possibly can with that. And we really try to reduce taking action in lower type of situations. For example, if it was a low end misdemeanor type crime, we would try to work through other means, opposed just arresting somebody and taking them to jail. Or if somebody was going to report, we converted more to our online reporting so that officers would either have to talk over the phone to the person reporting a crime or needing our assistance, and then also utilizing more our civilian investigators to do a lot of online reporting. So that is one example as far as what we have done. We also work with our counterparts over at the jail and at the hospital and how we go about doing that to try to limit having to bring people to them as well. So, and working with our prosecutors and the courts. So it's been quite a learning experience for us, because we've never ever experienced anything like this before. Even at one point, kind of locking down our lobby and reducing traffic for people coming and going from the police department. So it's certainly been very interesting for 2020.
Yeah, I think you and the rest of us, right? Like we're all learning as we go through this. And interesting to hear how, you know, thinking of these smaller misdemeanor crimes, that your officers and investigators are finding different ways to work with those. Are there methods like that that may stick around afterwards, or are there like sort of positive spillover effects from this pandemic that you're finding?
I think so. I think, you know, the courts get bogged down with a variety of different cases, as my staff do, and I think we'll find ways maybe that worked that we didn't think would work, and continue to proceed with that, you know. So I think, we're going to see some change out of this when we get through this, and it will be maybe better. I'll tell you, for the first time in my career, I saw individuals within our agency, and it wasn't all positions, but we allowed some positions within the agency to work from home in some case, to try to limit coming and going from the police department. We have since, everybody's pretty much back at this point, but never thought I'd say that in my career in law enforcement, because it's so human resource based, where you have hands on and interaction with the public to provide the services that we provide.
Got it. So if somebody had contracted COVID within the department, I imagine that would have been a huge challenge for you and your colleagues. with that aside, and it sounds like folks are staying healthy, what has been the biggest challenge, would you say, for your department?
To stay on par and not get complacent with it. So, you know, making sure that we are sticking with our precautions and trying to do the best we can while doing our jobs. I think that has been internally a process. I mean, it's like anything. After a while, you kind of get used to things and you say, well, we're doing okay, so we don't have to do this. And just constant reminders and assurance that we just need to keep on doing what we're doing, because the bottom line is that we want to provide those services to the public. And in order to do that, we need officers in the field, we need dispatchers, we need support personnel to be able to do their jobs day in, day out. So I think, you know, that has been a constant challenge throughout this pandemic.
Okay. Switching gears here a little, I was looking at your Facebook page and I saw that you recently gave some awards for maybe Best Officer of the Year. You want to tell us about those?
Yeah, you know, we every year we usually have an annual banquet where we get together and we celebrate all of our each other and what we do. And part of it is selecting different positions throughout the organization and give them awards. And one of them is Officer of the Year Award, and that went to Aaron Landry, and Civilian of the Year Award, you know, and Leadership Year of the Year Award, and you know, basically how we come about selecting that is I solicit input from everybody within the police department, and Deputy Chief Campbell and myself, we look at everything we get back and look at those individuals, their evaluations, and select them. And one other one's a Dispatcher of the Year Award that we also provided this year. So it was a little bit different, I'll tell you, with COVID. You talk about challenges that we've had is that, you know, you want to be timely, you want to recognize your people for all the good work they do. And I will tell you, it's been sometimes challenging to get into, to proceed to be able to present these awards to the individual because they deserve them. And unfortunately, we're not getting in big crowds or meeting in big groups or anything like that when we do it. So it's always exciting as a chief. I think it's exciting when you're able to hand out those type of awards to your personnel and celebrate what they do for the police department. Also recognize everybody else within the organization that do a great job.
Got it. So I'm, you know, as a civilian, I'm looking at Civilian of the Year 2021. What does it take for an individual to qualify to be nominated for Civilian of the Year?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, it's the individuals. When you're a civilian in the police department, you're usually in a support role, and you're supporting all different areas of the police department. You're supporting, sometimes have face-to-face. Like, for example, for the Civilian Award, Anna Cochran got that award, and she works in the record division. So she does a multitude of different types of tasks and duties, and one of them is face-to-face with not only the public but also officers and other people within the police department. And, you know, what really came back on her was that she was very approachable, always friendly, always willing to help. You know, we're looking for all those types of things of being a good team player within the organization and help move this organization forward. And also, you know, on our customer service to the public, we want, you know, want our people to be approachable. And we look for a variety of different things. And that's what some of the things we look for.
All right. What else is on the whiteboard there at the station right now?
Sure. You know, every time I talk with you, I talk about recruitment and retention. And I will say that, I mean, I think for the most part, we're doing a really good job with our retention. At some points, we really slowed down with recruitment because applications were low. But I'm happy to say, you know, within the last several months, we have over 20 plus applicants in the queue right now for a variety of different positions, the police officer positions and dispatch. We're down to only one vacancy in our dispatch. I just offered a new employee a job about 2 weeks ago, and she will be starting her job in dispatch. And on top of that, we have call takers within the dispatch that we feel we're going to help relieve those dispatchers on some of the other types of calls that are coming in that we're actively going through a hiring process on. So we're making some progress with that. I'm happy to say that. And, you know, we do have some testing dates coming up for police officer in November. I think it's the 16th through the 18th. And that's an ongoing thing. We just can't let our foot off the pedal on that, you know, to try to get our positions filled. Over my 20 years working for the police department here, I believe we've only been fully staffed for one time that I recall, and it was only for less than a week. And so, you know, we keep on striving for that goal. Another thing that's going on within the police department is every year, every spring and every fall, we have 40-hour training blocks for our police officers and our civilian staff. And we cover a variety of mandatory-type trainings, but also, you know, in light of what has been going on around the country with police departments and the concern for use of force and de-escalation, I was happy to be able to say when I talked about this early on that, you know, we have a crisis intervention team to deal with people when they're in crisis, and part of that's de-escalation. So we continue to have de-escalation type training within the schedules every year or twice a year, depending on what the circumstances are. So that is going through. I think we're in our third week. We do it for one straight month, and we're in our third week and making progress with that. So, and that leads us into the fall as far as it goes and getting prepared for winter and whatnot.
Okay. What position would you say the department needs the most of at the moment?
Well, we're currently down 8 police officer positions, and you know, we continue to try to get to that point. So I'd say, you know, police officers for the civilian staff, we're doing really well. Those positions are filled, and dispatch is looking really good, which I'm happy to say. But police officers, more applicants are the better, and we'll just continue to go down that route.
I know I've asked you this before, but how would you describe what makes a good police officer?
I think you have to be very compassionate and have the ability to show empathy in what you do, and also have the passion to want to go out and serve the public. I mean, that may sound like a cliche as far as it goes, but you really are. You are a public servant going out there. You know, you have to have high integrity. You have to also have to have good negotiation skills. We look for critical thinkers. You know, we want people to be able to think and work through a problem when they're trying to problem solve, and you know, have those interpersonal skills as far as being able to talk to people and interact with people. You know, I think when you first become a police officer, you can easily forget sometimes that you could just act like a human being. You know, you could interact with people and build relations that way. And it's quite a learning curve, you know, when you first start out to be a police officer. You know, you're provided all these different rules, you're provided all these different laws and how they apply, and officer safety and all those different types of things. And then you go with all that information out into the public and start your field training and go through a good year before you are ready to go and get back out in the field. And so, you know, a variety of different traits are very important into being a really good police officer, and those are some of them.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like you and some of your colleagues in the past have spoken about how you don't have to have a perfect record to be a police officer. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, you know, we recognize that nobody's perfect, and you know, sometimes you may have made mistakes in your past that you think might be detrimental to you proceeding as a police officer, but you know, you could have a misdemeanor underneath you as far as it goes. It depends on the timeline as far as what it is, and. You know, we recognize people make mistakes, and sometimes those individuals, just with life lessons and understanding life, bring that skill to being a good police officer and understanding, and also helps an individual be compassionate and show empathy towards others, especially who may be struggling in those times. So, you know, you could have a few of those marks against you, and we encourage people to put their application in and go through the process and see where they land.
All right. I think you mentioned some dates, October 16th through 18th, maybe. If somebody wants to apply right now, how do they do that?
So they could go to publicsafetytesting.com and fill out the initial information there. They could look at the dates that are presented, and basically public safety testing staff will walk them right through it, saying you need to report at this point in time. Nice thing about using public safety testing, whether you're from Juneau or Alaska, you can look at different sites. I know there's other law enforcement agencies in the state that are on board with public safety testing, like Fairbanks, and the troopers are also on there. So there's all these different testing sites that may happen that they could go test their initial testing on. But start there, sign up there, go through the process. They could also go to our CBJA website, and that they'll be directed directly to that website to sign up as well. So it's pretty – it'll walk you right through, and we encourage people to call us. I mean, if you're interested in being a police officer or work for the Juneau Police Department, we're more than willing to sit down and talk with them and go over what the requirements are and what they could expect and timelines and stuff like that.
Maybe even go on a ride-along.
Someday. That's one. I mean, interesting.
Oh, that's right.
COVID, we kind of stopped that for the time being, just for the safety of the individual and the officer. So, but that is usually what we recommend. Come out and do a ride-along, maybe, and see if this is something you think you want to do. And it gives you a good, you know, a good view of what is expected when you're being a police officer in Juneau.
We probably couldn't even have a cup of coffee right now, could we? Unless we were 6 feet apart somewhere outside, maybe.
Strict social distancing. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those are the things that, you know, unfortunately, we all struggle with. I mean, I've had countless Zoom meetings and not so much in-person meetings, and you get so much in person when you interact with people, and that's the downside, I mean, for connection with people.
Sure. Chief Mercer, it's been nice speaking with you. Is there anything we're missing, anything you'd like to add?
No, I kind of talked about this as we were we're going into winter now. I mean, believe it or not, I don't know where our summer went, but our winter and our fall is here. So once again, we keep on encouraging, you know, all of our citizens out there to stay aware of their neighborhood and pay attention to each other. You know, turn their lights on, lock their doors, put their valuables in their house and lock them up. Don't make yourself easy to be victimized. And also with winter driving and whatnot, soon we'll probably get our first black ice and snow. So have your vehicle ready for that, and give yourself time and drive slower and be patient with people.
I did just think of one more question, if I may. Have you seen any new styles of crime trending throughout the pandemic?
You know, that's one thing that we were really watching. I think one of the big concerns was domestic violence, and we're continuing to watch that. We saw a slight increase in domestic violence, but nothing significant as far as it goes. The other types of crimes, the property crimes, the thefts and the burglaries are still happening. I'm happy to say, you know, over the last 3 years, we're seeing decline in almost all of our types of crimes in Juneau, with the exception of aggravated assaults and assaults seem to go up. I don't know if that is truly correlated to our pandemic or not, but we have seen that in activity happening around Juneau. But that's what we're tracking. We're trying to keep on top of that to determine how this pandemic is affecting us.
All right, Chief Mercer, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks. It was great talking with you, Scott.
Take care.